Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, my co-host, Doug Wortham, is in the studio, and he's going to talk to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs about the new veterans homes. And when he's done, I'm going to come back with the DAV of Minnesota and talk about Veterans Day on the Hill, which is coming up soon. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Your Minnesota National Guard is a unique military organization in that we have a dual role. Our chain of command includes both our governor and our president. We serve both overseas in combat roles and here at home in response to state emergencies. More than 13,000 strong, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard are based in more than 60 communities across our great state. From our Air National Guard units in Duluth and the Twin Cities to our Army National Guard units stationed in Rosemont, Bloomington, St. Paul, Camp Ripley, and elsewhere, the soldiers and airmen of your Minnesota National Guard live here, work here, and serve here. It is our mission to be a good community partners. We partner with local law enforcement agencies, schools, and an assortment of community organizations as part of our counter drug program. In our role as emergency management response agency, we're prepared to protect Minnesota from any hostility, be it winter weather, floods, wildfires, civil unrest, or a pandemic. While I'm in the community, people often stop me to thank me for my service. I'm always humbled by that gesture of gratitude, but I'm also proud in the knowledge that the Minnesota National Guard is always ready to protect our community and always there to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Doug, I can't wait to hear this interview. We're going to learn about three new veterans homes coming to Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what a great conversation we're going to have to hear about another resource that is available to our veterans as they get into that time of their life where they might need a little bit of additional assistance. And so it's with great pleasure that I get to bring in Simone Hogan and Dave Dunn. Let me give a little bit of a bio here. Simone, she has served as the Senior Director of Healthcare at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs since 2017. And has worked for the past 22 years in community mental health services, the federal VA healthcare system, and at the state of Minnesota. And Dave Dunn was recently named the administrator of the future Preston Veterans Home back in November, and he has more than 18 years of experience as an administrator for nursing homes. Simone, Dave, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming into the studio. It's always great to have our guests in the studio. We get to know you a little bit better, have a good conversation about things going on. And this is a very important topic we want to talk about. Get this information out. We're going to plug multiple times here about hiring because we know that that is a need throughout all of the healthcare industry. But I want to start off with you, Simone, if you could please. Just give us a little bit of an overview of the Minnesota Veterans Homes. How many homes do you have right now? What's on the horizon? Just give us that picture.
Sure. Thank you. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the healthcare division, we run currently five state veterans homes. Those are located in Minneapolis, Silver Bay, Fergus Falls, and Laverne. And then we have a facility in Hastings, which is a domiciliary program. We also have a unique program on the Minneapolis campus called our Adult Day or the Vets Club. We're one of two in the country that operate an Adult Day program on a state vets home campus. So a very unique program there. Those five facilities, though, have been in operation for many decades. They provide great care to 600 plus residents in the state of Minnesota. Important to remember that most of those facilities are skilled nursing facilities or nursing homes. So that's meaning that they provide a higher level of care to residents that might be sick or aging. And then the DOMS program, as we call it, in Hastings, that is geared more towards veterans that have a mental health diagnosis, chemical dependency, a more independent living setting.
All right, so five facilities right now. We know that there are some on the horizon. What's coming up? What is being built right now, and when do we anticipate opening?
Yes, very exciting year for the agency. We have three new facilities that are under construction. Those are located in Preston, Bemidji, and Montevideo. And they are scheduled to open later this year. Preston should open first in the summer of 2023, and then Bemidji and Montevideo come soon after in the fall.
And we're going to talk to Dave in just a little bit as the new administrator for the Preston site. But coming back to you, Simone, all right, so we've got the five facilities. We got three more coming. That requires a lot of staffing. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the current situation you have as it relates to staffing needs.
I think that healthcare has been significantly impacted in the last several years regarding staffing, and the Minnesota Veterans Homes are not unique. We have really had some great impacts and are really looking for some dedicated individuals to join our team. The Minnesota Veterans Homes, remember, they're skilled nursing facilities, and so we certainly are looking for direct care workers, those nurses, social workers, therapists that would be able to support those residents' clinical needs. But we also need support staff, housekeeping, food service, business office, really to make our whole home operate and run smoothly.
All right. And all of these positions, someone who would be hired for it, they become a state employee. And so I want to direct people to mn.gov/careers, because that's a place to start to see what kind of current positions are available. And hopefully we can start to fill some of the vacancies there. But we do know that that's a tremendous need. So let's switch gears and go back to the homes themselves. The number of homes that we'll have available. Talk about who is actually eligible to then come in and live at a veteran's home, and then how do they even apply to become a resident there?
Sure. Well, I always want to direct people to our website just to be able to read and see our full application and how to apply to be a resident. I think that we really provide that good information there that one can reference. But first, a couple of things. You have to remember they're, again, a skilled nursing facility. So you need to have a clinical need. You have to have a reason to move into that nursing home. Some medical need, maybe assistance with daily cares. That's really the first piece. We're not an assisted living or an independent living. We're a skilled nursing facility, so that skilled care need is important. The second piece is our residents need to be an eligible veteran in the state of Minnesota, and that's laid out in our Minnesota state statute. Essentially, they have to be a current resident of Minnesota. They have to have served a consecutive 181 days in the military and have a discharge other than dishonorable. Other individuals that are eligible for our care are eligible spouses. So a spouse of a veteran is eligible to apply as well. We do have a waiting list for all of our Minnesota veterans homes, including our new facilities. Our goal is to serve Minnesota veterans, and so we reserve a majority of our rooms for them. And a small percentage for those spouses that might be eligible.
And one of the things that we were talking about before the show started is the interesting reason why there's a waiting list. It's not a matter of not having the vacancies. It truly is because we need to increase that staff so that the additional beds can be filled and we can bring more residents in.
Correct. Staffing is incredibly important. The state of Minnesota, MDVA, has really high standards for the quality of care that we provide in our homes and ensuring that we have staff that are there and able to fill the schedule, and all of those shifts are really important. And so as a result of the pandemic, we have had a decrease in our census relating to the need for additional staff. We really have a full force recruitment and retention strategy going forward right now to really fill those staff vacancies so that we can increase our occupancy. But the Minnesota Veterans Homes have had a long history of a waiting list, and that, I believe, is because of the high-quality care that we provide to the residents that live there.
And that's a great point. I mean, our veterans, our service members, they serve their country, and they absolutely deserve that high-quality care that the homes can provide.
Absolutely. I think they deserve it. Their families deserve it. And I think that our staff, those that join our organization, really identify with that mission as well. And so then they, too, just provide a high quality of care for them and really develop some very unique personal relationships with those residents that might be different than from a community nursing home.
All right, Simone, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Dave a little bit, and we'll hear more about the new homes opening. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. This is Doug Wortham, and I'm co-hosting today with Tom Lyons. And the last segment, we were speaking with Simone Hogan, who's the Senior Director of Healthcare at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I introduced Dave Dunn last time, but we didn't get to bring him into that segment. So I want to bring Dave into the conversation now. And again, he was recently named the administrator of the future Preston Veterans Home back in November. So Dave, again, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So we know that the MDVA is opening up three new homes, Bemidji, Montevideo, Preston. And you're going to be the guy, the person in charge, the lead administrator out at Preston. So tell us a little bit about the Preston home. What do the future residents have to look forward to?
Well, they have a lot to look forward to. So Preston has really wrapped their arms around this building, and it's going to be a 54-bed building, all private rooms, all private bathrooms. It's going to consist of three households with 18 rooms in each household. Each household will have its own kitchen, so the residents will be able to, you know, have that home-like atmosphere. So they'll be able to see staff cooking their meals. They'll be able to smell the smells throughout the facility. So that's what we're really looking at is a home-like environment. It's not an institution. It's a home. And that's, you know, that's how I operate the facility. You know, we work for the residents. The residents don't work for us. So
what was that process like? Or maybe I should rephrase the question. What led you to then to come to the MDVA and want to take on this big responsibility out in Preston?
Well, that's easy. I have a passion for serving those who need, you know, assistance. But the main thing is I'm a 15-year Air Force veteran myself. So being able to serve fellow veterans, you know, that's where my heart is and my passion. So very easy to make that change from the private sector to MDVA.
Well, thanks for your service, and thanks for stepping up to take on what is just an awesome responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, Simone had already mentioned that there's a waiting list for the current homes. What does that list look like in Preston? And when you open the doors for business, do you already have people ready to move in, like, right away?
Well, we do have a waiting list, and there's currently 90 names on the list. And we actually just started yesterday contacting some of those that are on the waiting list that are looking to, you know, reside in the home. And it's a process. So when we open the facility in mid-July, we're going to start with 20 residents. And the reason we're starting with only 20 is because we have to get inspected by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, as well as the federal survey, the CMS survey. So once that is passed, then we will also we'll be able to start filling up the home. Again, as Simone mentioned, staffing is going to play a part in that as well. So far, we've been pretty lucky on getting staff hired. We have six on staff right now, and we've got our social worker starting in April. So.
And is there a specific area where, I mean, that's kind of like the crux or the main point where you need to get hired, like, right away? What's that priority looking like?
Well, right now we're working in phases. So we're in phase two currently. And so we're trying to get all of the leadership positions filled. Right now we have openings for our nurse educator, our infection preventionist. Probably in May, June timeframe, then we'll start looking for some of the operations, dietary, housekeeping, and then some of our hands-on clinical, our CNAs and our RNs, LPNs.
And so one of the websites that you all talked about is MinnesotaVeteran.org/future homes. So if somebody listened to this program, they go to, again, MinnesotaVeteran.org/future homes. What kind of information are they going to find there about the homes? And will they also then find information about employment or opportunities coming up?
Mm-hmm. There's both. There's going to be some you know, as I mentioned, it's going to be phased in as far as the hiring goes, but they'll be able to see when those positions are coming open. They can also get on a listserv, so they will be notified when that specific position is coming open.
All right. So anybody who's interested in getting a job for or with the state of Minnesota supporting our veterans in these homes, they need to get out to the website, take a look at it, and just keep looking, and then get on, what'd you call it, a listserv?
Mm-hmm. They can sign up, and they will get alerts either via email to let them know that the positions are coming open.
Good. Now, we've only got like 3.5 minutes here, so you were telling me that there's an interesting story behind the naming of the road leading into the Preston Veterans Home. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it honors the heritage of the first Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. So the naming's been going on for several months now, but the City Council of Preston 2 weeks ago voted on naming the new road going to the facility 1864 First Minnesota, which is to honor and recognize the first regiment during the Civil War in 1861, who were the first ones to go in the battle from the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, the first Minnesota, long history here, back in our infantry, 2 of the 135, and just a great history, and of course a nice monument out at Gettysburg, and what a tribute to that storied history and lineage.
It is, and just learning the backstory to it, it's phenomenal. I actually just ordered the book off of Amazon and received it yesterday, so I'm going to start diving into that.
Yeah, that's great. So you're going to be one of the first new homes that opens. A resident comes in. You mentioned that you got 54 beds, the private rooms, kind of the house, shared home type of a living. What other types of events or extracurricular type of things could a resident look forward to when they move in at one of the homes, or in particular Preston?
Well, quite a bit. I mean, we're going to have a full staff of activity staff. We have a chapel. We have meditation rooms. We have a private family dining room. Our common room is going to be fully equipped with audiovisual equipment, so we'll be able to live stream different things. I've already had several service organizations reach out, and they want to come and call bingo or take the residents out, things like that. Each household will have a nice courtyard, so the residents will be able to go out and, you know, enjoy the outdoors. And we're going to be building a nice pavilion that, you know, residents and their families will be able to enjoy as well.
All right. So the good thing here is this isn't a place where a resident's going to go in and they're just going to be stuck in their room. I mean, there's going to be plenty to do to keep active and try to live as normal of a life as possible.
Correct. That's the whole idea. You know, this is their home. And, you know, someone coming into a skilled nursing facility, you know, they need assistance for some reason or another. And we just want to make, you know, whatever they have remaining left, you know, comfortable and enjoyable. So,
well, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to spend with us here. And I want to just go back to Simone for a final thing here. So I got 30 seconds left. When are the new homes opening? If you can remind us of that.
Sure. It's going to be a really busy time for us in summer of this year, 2023. Preston will be opening, and then early fall, Bemidji and Montevideo will be opening. We will hold a ceremony, an opening ceremony for those facilities, and we welcome anybody to attend that. We really would love to see a lot of the community there and our supporters. And if you're interested in supporting the homes, we really do ask that you reach out. We have all three administrators in place, and they're ready to answer any questions.
All right, MinnesotaVeteran.org/future homes for information about the homes, and MN.gov/careers. Let's get out there and fill the positions so that you can have more residents in each of these homes. Simone, Dave, thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We had a great interview there in the first with Doug Wortham talking about the MDVA and the three new homes. And now we're going to talk to the DAV in Minnesota about Vets Day on the Hill. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
In partnership with the Lutheran Social Services, Minnesota Service Corps is a nation-leading program designed to bring essential community-based services directly to veterans and their families across Minnesota at no cost. Due to its unique structure, this program also provides resources to previously underserved areas in greater Minnesota. Services include individual and family counseling, financial counseling, debt management, addiction counseling, disability service, and in-home counseling. The goal is to help veterans and their families to develop skills and draw on their own strengths to bring about successful and lasting family stability. After serving our country selflessly, veterans and their families can know that we stand behind them and we're ready to serve them. For more information or to request services through CORE, contact your CVSO or County Veteran Service Officer or call 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Doug, we're going to have fun the rest of the show here. We're going to talk about Veterans Day on the Hill. It's pretty important. We get all of our veterans over there, talk to our state elected officials, and see if we can't take care of all our veterans and their families.
Yeah, absolutely. A very important topic. And just a point of warning here. Please do not pick on that Marine too much today during this segment.
Well, and it's my honor to introduce the Marine he's talking about, and that is Mick Aguirre, who is a Marine. He's the commander of the DAV of Minnesota and the chair of the Commander's Task Force. That's an awful lot of duty for a Marine, don't you think, Mick?
Oh, thank you, Tom. Yeah, it was a privilege and an honor to be elected chairman of the Commander Task Force, which is made of the 8 recognized service organizations in the state of Minnesota.
And we're going to talk about that shortly, but with you today is Trent Dilks, and he's the legislative director of DAV of Minnesota. And Trent, you've been doing that for quite a few years.
Coming up on 9 years, and glad to be back and discussing our priorities and what we can do to get things done.
It's given you a good opportunity to meet a lot of our state elected officials and figure out how that stuff works up on the hill over there. I'm not sure anybody knows, but if they do, you're it.
I started to figure it out, then I forgot, then started to figure it out again. So we're going to get there.
All right. Keep at it. That sounds like a Marine, but I know we're going to talk to the Marine here. Commander, you are chairman of the Commander's Task Force, made up of all those veteran service organizations. And it's my understanding that you get together on a monthly basis and you combine the memberships of DAV, American Legion, VFW, all of those organizations, And you set up a list of legislative priorities each year so that you can go up to the Capitol and take care of our veterans.
Yeah, yes, Tom. We try to get together every month. Like you said, we meet every month and get our legislative priorities, and we get our agenda together. And it's just that we want to be a unified voice instead of I know each one of the organizations has their own certain issue they'd like to bring up or that concerns them more than some of the other organizations, because like the DAV, we don't have any solid building of homes. We always meet in the Legion or the VFWs, and they have different issues about the real estate taxes on their building and stuff. So we get together, like I said, in a unified voice and take our issues up to the legislation.
And Trent, you've been busy for a number of years now trying to get our veterans from all over Minnesota to come over to the Capitol on Vets Day on the Hill.
Yeah, you know, I've been leading that rally now. I think this is my 6th or 7th year since I took over really the organization of it. And then we had the shutdown and COVID, but I got to tell you, it's looking like we're going to bring them back and we're going to be able to make a louder voice and really let them know what we want to get done for our veterans.
So we got a lot of buses running this year?
We got buses coming from all over Minnesota. I was just exchanging emails with one from up by Hibbing. You know, they're going to get up early. I think they got 52 people getting on that bus in the wee hours of the morning and coming down to be heard at the Capitol.
And when they come on that day, they get some lunch and they march up to the Capitol. They have a little rally there. And then they get some one-on-one time with their elected officials.
Yeah, in the morning they show up. We're going to have coffee and rolls at the Cedar Street Armory. We're giving them a free lunch. They can invite their lawmakers over there while we got a little time. Then they're going to hear from some speakers. We're changing the tone. We're really going to try to liven up the pre-rally part, get a little passionate about issues like veteran suicide, homelessness prevention, taking action for veterans. And then we're going to march over there, and hundreds of veterans are going to march up to the rotunda. And I got to tell you, one of the highlights, if you haven't heard it, the Pledge of Allegiance in the rotunda of our state capitol. The entire building shakes. You get 500, 600, 700 veterans reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and shaking that rotunda. It's something to experience.
You can see the Marine leading the march and leading in the Pledge of Allegiance. We're talking to Mick Aguirre and Trent Dilks from DAV Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Mick, last year you and I were talking about this. The state legislature passed a Veterans Omnibus Bill.
Yeah, it's the first time in history they did that, and they because it used to be where they'd tag the bill along with some other legislation that was going through, and it was always a hassle getting it done. So last year was a clean omnibus bill, but only concerned veterans' issues.
So it wasn't stuck in with all the politics and all the other stuff at the end of the session.
Nope, we did that for the first time in history.
And Trent, we've been hoping that we could do that again, and if you do it 2 years in a row, it gets to be a tradition, doesn't it?
You know, I've been saying it since we got the first one passed, and I would add, we made the call for that right here on this radio show, and at Veterans Day on the Hill, we publicly put the call out for the first Veterans Omnibus Bill, so Minnesota Military Radio was a major part. We got the lawmakers from the House and Senate in that show. You got the majority and minority leader to say on air that they would support it, and later on in the session, sure it was, they were supporting it. So that was a big step, was right through your program here that we got that done.
Well, I'm hoping we get it done this year. Is there a chance?
I think we got a chance. I think, you know, there was a little bit of a struggle early on, but we got to get it this second year. You know, 1 year can be a one-off, but moving forward, the only way to get veterans legislation done is in a standalone bill. We're fighting for it. I think we got a chance. If we can get enough people, veterans, non-veterans, to make some noise, I think we can get it done. And then it becomes the standard forever.
There's two ways for our listeners to do that. Get on the buses, get down there for Vets Day on the Hill, which is March 30th, or call your state elected officials and say, come on, guys, let's do another Veterans Omnibus Bill. Let's keep the politics out of this thing. Let's take care of our veterans. Let's take care of those people that served and need some help. And Trent, I want to come back to you. One of the things that we wanted to talk about today was we passed last year, I think it was, a post-9/11 service bonus, and you're trying to amend that.
Yeah, as part of the Veterans Omnibus Bill was the service bonus, but it left out you had to be from Minnesota when you joined. You had to separate from service and have Minnesota residence. It has a requirement that no other benefit, state-level benefit for veterans had, and that was a cost-saving measure. But what it's really doing is leaving out a lot of Minnesota veterans. We wanted to show appreciation to a generation that did 20 years of war fighting. And by doing that cost-cutting measure, the legislator left out a lot of them who may have been away at college or for whatever reason, but they're all Minnesota residents now. And our intent was to say thank you to them. So we want to get it done this year.
Mick, for us old guys, Vietnam veterans, we got a bonus way back when. It's kind of fun to see the current generation get a bonus.
Yes, because I believe that Minnesota has always taken care of their warriors, and they've given bonuses ever since World War I.
So hopefully we can get this amendment passed and take care of those guys. And Trent, coming back to you, there's some real estate provisions that you're pushing this year, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but property taxes have been on the rise in Minnesota. And we have something for our disabled veterans, our most severely disabled veterans, that allows for a property value exclusion. But it has been exactly the same amount for 12 years. And I don't know about anybody else's, but in the last 12 years, my property tax bill has gone up in my home value. And so it's time to adjust that and fix it to inflation. The other part we're looking at getting rid of is that 2-year application window for surviving spouses.
So there's a little bit of work to do, and of course, inflation's hit all of that stuff. I think the current exclusion is $150,000. Is that at the 80% level?
At 70%, you get $150,000, and then at 100% permanent total, you get $300,000. We'd like to move that to $400,000, and we'd like to fix it to the percentage of the disability. So at 70%, you would get 70% of $400,000. At 80%, so on and so forth.
Makes a lot of sense, and if we can push that up a little bit, it'll help our disabled veterans so that they can live in their homes and they can pay the taxes after that exemption. So that's a great one to work on. Gentlemen, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Veterans Day on the Hill with Mick Aguirre and Trent Dilks from DAV in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio is Doug Wortham. And Doug, you learning anything about Veterans Day on the Hill?
Yeah, I've got all sorts of details and notes on it. And I think we ought to remind our listening audience a little bit more about it. Again, remind of the dates and how they can get involved and support the issues that are being brought forward by that CTF.
And we're going to do just that because we've got Mick Aguirre, who's the commander of the DAV Minnesota and the chair of the Commander's Task Force this year in the studio, along with Trent Dilks, who's the legislative director for DAV Minnesota. And Commander, Veterans Day on the Hill, March 30th.
Yeah, we got the Army there on Cedar Street, and we're at 10 o'clock. So buses are going to leave Roseville, just one of the spots that we have buses coming from. And they're going to have coffee and donuts there. And then 11 o'clock, the DEV sponsors a lunch. And I believe, according to our schedule, about 12:15, we'll all get together and leave and march up there to the rotunda of the Capitol.
Is that a forced march over to the Capitol and up the hill?
But it's nice and easy. I'll be leading it, so it won't be too fast.
So it's going to be a stroll, Mick, for a Marine?
Oh, no, but it won't be a forced march.
All right.
No cadence.
And then what happens when you get up to the rotunda?
Well, we got a lineup of speakers. Trent did a fine job of getting the agenda set up, and the acoustics ain't the best in the rotunda, but when you get a bunch of veterans together, and like Trent said, if you lead the Pledge of Allegiance, it's something to behold.
Commander, I'm looking forward to seeing you on the TV leading that march over the Capitol and leading the Pledge of Allegiance. The Marine can handle this.
I'll try not to disappoint you, Tom. I appreciate all the support from any veteran or spouse or significant other or anybody that's concerned about veterans' benefits and issues. You're welcome.
All right, Commander, we're looking forward to a good day that day. It's March 30th, 2023, Veterans Day on the Hill. And Trent, we referred to the fact that there's a bunch of buses going this year from all over Minnesota. If our listeners are out there and on the 65 stations we're out on and they want to find one of those buses, how do they find it?
Yeah, you can come to davmn.org. DAVMN.org. If I've heard about it, it'll be on there. But really, you can also contact your local county veteran service officer or your local Legion, DAV, VFW, and see if they've organized some. Some are bringing vans. You know, they've got a smaller group coming down, and some are bringing big buses, and some of those are full, and some have seats left. So really ask around in the veterans community in your area and find out when the buses are coming down.
And, Commander, this is kind of a side deal, but the County Veteran Service Officers, they're pretty important people. If we've got any veterans out there with medical issues related to their service, they should start with the Crown County Veteran Service Officer.
That's correct, Tom. That's our starting point. And they're the ones that vet the veterans and find out what the issues are. And they're the best ones to handle, take care of whatever veterans' concerns they have.
And in this case, for Veterans Day on the Hill, they can help with the buses. And I understand they're involved in all the vans that are getting our veterans back and forth to their medical appointments, which you at the DAV like to provide.
Well, that's our highlight, our transportation program. We have 35 vans in operation now with the Veterans Administration. We're looking to buy maybe three more this year.
And you need volunteer drivers.
We always need volunteer drivers. So if you're retired and like to serve your county or your country, that's a good issue to be able to do.
Very good, Commander. Trent, I want to come back to you. We talked earlier about two ways our listeners can help. One is to show up on Veterans Day in the Hill, and let's send a massive force of veterans over there, and they can talk to their legislators. But the other one is, we said they could call their state elected officials. How do they find out who to call?
You know, I have got the tool for your listeners. So last year, I rolled out MinFluence, M-I-N-N, Fluence, MinFluence. And it is a way that it is veteran-specific. It's only about Minnesota veterans' issues. It's only Minnesota state issues. I'm actually the only person who runs it, so there's not a bunch of spam because I don't have time for that. But when your lawmaker, so you come on, you look at MinFluence, you sign up. When your lawmaker's on the committee that we need the vote on, or when there's an important bill heading to the floor of the House of the Senate, I send you an alert. You hit take action. If you want to just send the email that I set up, 30 seconds later, you've directly contacted your state legislator and told them what you want them to do. If you want to customize or send a different message, you can do that too. But in as little as 30 seconds, you can be reaching out to your lawmaker. But also on there, it's going to have their phone number, their email. So if you want to send a separate message, MinFluence is a one-stop tool to do that. And it was really the driving force behind the omnibus. The initial messages came back, it's too late, we can't do it. Next thing you know, they suspended the rules and passed that thing through, and Minfluence was a big old club that we were able to bring to bear and get those lawmakers in St. Paul to move.
So Minfluence, M-I-N-N-Fluence, you can go there and you can find out the contact information for your local state elected official, or you can sign up. And you'll send them notices whenever something's coming up.
You can sign up. And when important things like, you know, right now the House Property Tax Committee is looking at whether or not to include some of our provisions into the tax omnibus bill. You know, when things like that are happening, I'll send you out an alert. And if your lawmaker's on the committee, you'll get that alert and you can let them know what you want them to do.
Trent, just 2 minutes left. Tell me again, Veterans Day on the Hill. March 30th.
Veterans Day on the Hill, March 30th. Doors are going to open at 10 a.m. We're going to have a pre-rally. We're going to talk about important veterans issues at the pre-rally. It's really going to be something. It's our one opportunity to really make our voices heard. And then we're going to march up the front steps of that Capitol, get into the rotunda, and loudly and clearly let them know that this is the year for Veterans Omnibus Bill. This is the year to fund veteran suicide prevention. This is the year to make sure our disabled veterans can stay in their homes.
And the rally is from 1 to 2 o'clock in the rotunda. And after that, do they still have breakout sessions where they can meet with their local elected officials?
That is up to the attendees this year. We weren't able to get the individual rooms, but you can invite your lawmakers to the pre-rally. You can meet with your lawmakers after. Invite them down to the rally. They'll be hearing the noise all over the Capitol building anyway, so they can come check it out.
So go to Minfluence, M-I-N-N-Fluence, and invite your local elected official to come to Vets Day on the Hill.
Go sign up for Minfluence. It's a one-of-a-kind for veterans issues in Minnesota. It's state-specific. I'll never spam, nothing like that. This is just veterans issues. We're trying to get work done.
Thanks, Trent. Commander, we just got a minute left. It's going to be March 30th over at the Capitol. You're inviting them over for lunch. Get on those buses. Get over there. You're going to lead the march up to the Hill and the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's correct, Tom. And again, on Trent and my behalf, we'd like to thank you for giving us this opportunity to come on and spread the word and hard work for the veterans and their spouses that we're trying to do. And we can use all the support we can. And that's what that Veterans Day of the Hill is.
Well, as a fellow Vietnam veteran, I'm all for this. And if it wasn't a Thursday, I'd be over there with you. But we're going to be in here doing the radio show. So hope you guys have a great turnout. Once again, if you want to find out some information about Veterans Day on the Hill, go to davmn.org or contact your local county veterans service officer. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Commander Mick Aguirre and Trent Dilks from DAV, Minnesota. Joining me now is Tim Leonhardt from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's always an honor.
Tim, we had kind of a big winter, too much snow in my view. Has that hampered anything for you? I know you can't get your motorcycle out yet.
Well, it does. It does to the point that people don't think that we will be coming because of we ride motorcycles. Well, we also drive cars or cages. And, you know, so if you invite us, we'll be there.
So do you think maybe some of the people that have lost veterans are a little hesitant to call you because of the cold of the winter and the snow and so forth?
Yeah, and our guys, that's just a challenge.
They accept they're ready for it.
They like the challenge.
They like the challenge, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to remind everybody that you don't just show up.
Right.
You don't go to a funeral unless you're invited.
Yes, and it has to be from the immediate family. You know, we can't just take anybody's word that they want us there.
And how does the immediate family go about inviting the Minnesota Patriot Guard Riders?
Yep. We have a website, mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left-hand side it says invite us, and just click on there and fill out the paperwork, and you know, give us a little bit of information, and somebody will get in contact with you.
And you're just like the postman, neither rain nor snow nor nothing. You want to go.
Yep. Yeah. We like to make sure that our heroes, our veterans, are honored.
And you set up your flag line, and you're out in front of the church, and it's all about honor, dignity, and respect for those who have served.
Yes. And we'll work, you know, we can work anything out. You know, some people want us in the church parking lot. That's fine. If they want us on the sidewalks, that's fine. We're a little hesitant to go inside, but normally we're all dressed up for the outside, so going inside is kind of uncomfortable. We're all parkered up.
Okay. In addition to going to the funerals, are you still going to the veterans' homes?
Oh, yes. Yep. We show up there to play bingo with the veterans, and it's always an honor to talk to them and listen to their stories and listen to a veteran that can't remember who his family is, but he can remember the kid that sat next to him in a foxhole.
You bet.
You know, 50 years ago, but he can still remember that.
So, Tim, for your riders, if they want to find out if there's something coming up, do you have a calendar on your website?
We do. If you just go to our website and go over to the mission calendar on the side, and there's even up on the header of the webpage, just click on that, and it'll give you a calendar. You can pick and choose where you can go and when you can go, and we're glad to have anybody that comes.
And just as easy to go to that website and sign up and become a rider.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and then we'll send you the information for your area.
Very good, sir. Well, I hope we're done with the winter and you can get your motorcycle out soon. And I want to thank you for joining us again today.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Simone Hogan and David Dunn from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Mick Aguirre and Trent Dilks from the DAV of Minnesota, Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, my co-host Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota Veterans VA and the Minnesota National Guard Youth Programs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.